A warning for our viewers out there, this podcast is in no way affiliated with MasterChef, its contestants, or the production. Hey guys, this is Chef Kelsey Murphy from MasterChef Season 11, and I am here with my filmmaker friend, Pete Ferrero. We are here to chat about MasterChef Season 13, The United Tastes of America. Each week, we're going to break down every single episode, chatting about the contestants, their dishes, and all of the drama that is sure to come. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. Kelsey here with my good friend Pete, and we are here to break down the next episode of MasterChef, where a certain guest judge stops by. Pete, who is that?
It is my all-time favorite MasterChef competitor, the greatest champion of all time, Chef Kelsey Murphy, who is also conveniently the co-host of this, or the host, depending on how she perceives it in the day. Of this podcast,
Chef I was Kelsey thinking Murphy. Of renting an actual goat and getting it to come along for when we recorded this episode. I couldn't get a goat.
How did you find out that you were going to do this, and how excited were you when you got this call?
I was so excited. It's been something that we had been wanting to pitch for a little while. Like, there's a whole storyline, obviously, when they're making the season, you know, of what the theme of the season is, what challenges they already have slated. You know, they start making these challenges up years in advance. So there, you know, there's a lot that goes into making a season. And so it probably wasn't until we filmed in February, and I bet it was maybe December where I was finally notified that it was going to be for sure. Like, we got the episode. We're going to do it. We're going to bring you out. Fits in perfectly with the theme that we're doing. So I was,
which was Stadium Eats, or what did we call it?
Yeah. So we're doing elevated stadium food. So,
right.
We touched on in the episode. I have, stadium food locations here in Indianapolis at the NFL Indianapolis Colts Stadium, at the Indianapolis 500. And so that's kind of one of the things in my career that I've built, I'm offering, is these elevated stadium food treats,
right,
whatever you want to call it. And that's the challenge for the day. I want to see these contestants elevate some good old stadium food.
I think I've been to a lot of stadiums. I think that's a really hard thing to do.
It's a lot harder than it sounds like it would be, or like appears on paper. So in when you're elevating just a dish, like it's much easier. When you're really trying to hit something that is so memorable for somebody,
yes,
like a hot dog, like a chicken sandwich or a cheeseburger, I don't
something
know, whatever.
Something especially that a stadium is known for, right?
Yes,
or
you
an
have
area.
An idea already of like what that is, and how do you elevate it without just, I don't know, slapping, you know, a guacamole on it. You know, like there's got to be a better way to do it. And then how do you plate it? There's so many ways you can take it. So it is a really tough challenge. And I think it's a challenge that the contestants can feel, again, like on paper, oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be easy. And then they very quickly realize, oh shoot, I'm in the weeds. Like this is not as easy as I thought it was going to be.
So you come into town, and you took a very special guest with you, which was so kind of you. You took me to the taping, which
so
was
cool.
So awesome to see. I felt in that moment when I saw this and I told you that stay, that you held your own with iconic MasterChef judges. That is not an easy task. To be on the stage with Gordon, Arone, and Joe. Each one of them has their own unique take on MasterChef and in the universe and our iconic chefs. So you get this opportunity to be with one of them based on the fact that you won your season. You won the Legend season. And so it was cool.
I was so nervous the night before, but also like nervous, excited, obviously. And I always go into situations like that where I feel way out of my league, like total, you know, imposter syndrome coming in. And I just like go into those and I like understand the task. I'm like, all right, get your game face on. Like you are there. You deserve to be there. And like you go in and you act like you are one of them. And that's just like, that's, I live it for that day. I'm like, nope, this is, I am one of them. I'm their best friend. I am one of the group, and I just make it happen.
You're in the family.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like tell myself that. And that's what I said that morning. And I was like, we're going to do that, is even though I felt like I was going to throw up pulling onto set, because the PTSD also, is real.
You came into town the night before we went and got dinner somewhere, and it's where you showed your Chicago.
Still the best story.
This ever, because we were on a rooftop. It was February and it was very chilly. And the waiter came.
58, everybody.
It was LA chilly. It gets cold here, like bone chilling cold for some reason. And I'm originally from the East Coast too. And the waiter came over and said, do either of you need a blanket? And I said, yes. You said no.
I said, actually, first time in my life, I am perfectly comfortable. And Pete over there is like teeth chattering.
It's so cold.
Like he was ready to throw in the towel and just be like, I got to get off this roof. I can't do this. Like he was going to jump over the side, just like end it.
But anyway, so you come into town, you come on out. It's really awesome to see you doing this. Right off the bat, everybody is like, it feels like everybody's excited to see you. There's like this energy in the air. Lizzie says, you're such an inspiration. She can't believe she gets to stand in front of you. Now, what did you think when Lizzie said that? And when you first came out and saw them, did you have any knowledge of them, of the contestants? What was your...
No, I know you were given
some paperwork.
Maybe. I was given some paperwork. So I knew like who was left and like their regions and kind of, I wasn't given any information on how well they have or have not been doing in the competition. So I had no prior judgment of that. But definitely when I walked out, I mean, Lizzie was like the first person I saw, and like her smile was just like, and Sav too. Like the two of them looked just so excited and it felt very genuine. So I love being in the position of mentoring.
Yes.
And I was very passionate about like, I want to make sure I convey that to them. I want to motivate them. I want to be inspiration to them, especially knowing where they were in this time of the competition, where it just gets real heavy. But there's also a lot of excitement about being in the top 10. That's a huge milestone. So like, let's celebrate it.
So. Yeah, and they brought you in on the right moment, you know.
Oh, like, yeah. I didn't know I was going to be at the top 10 episode. And I was like, this is great. Like,
they tell really you, exciting. They introduce you and they explain that you have the stadium. Like you said, Wayne looked very impressed. Did you see this?
I didn't.
The facial reaction?
I was just watching myself. I'm just kidding.
She's not kidding. That is absolutely 100% true. Jennifer loves that. That's what Jennifer said when you said that you have this stadium. She goes, love that.
Your accents are so good today.
I know. I'm really on it this week. Anyway, they all seem super excited. You show your shit. I shouldn't say that word. You show your food that you're doing. You talk about this. You do this Wagyu beef hot dog Dijonaise.
Yeah, very good.
You do a Cuban sandwich with spicy Cuban. Pickles.
It's the best. And it Asian, is the best.
Asian sticky wings.
Mm-hmm. Those are three. We have more, but yes, those are three offerings that we have.
Just you say there's a little heat, sesame seeds and scallions. Why haven't you made these for me yet? How come I've never had them?
I'm a
huge chicken wings fan.
I need to get them on Gold Belly somehow. You
do. Seriously.
Yeah, the wings are great. The Cuban is just the best thing in the world. So good.
I felt that right now. If Wayne was in this competition, he would have nailed it, given his baseball experience that we keep hearing about that remains.
Yeah, it would have been fun to see him cook during this competition. And I was really excited in general to just get to see people's offerings, because it in writing, like, it's a fun challenge.
Yeah.
Like, who doesn't want to try to elevate stadium food? It's just, you know, you get to fry stuff and you get to make, I don't know, familiar things. I don't know. It's just fun to me.
It is. And the three things that you offer sound incredible.
They're
that you mentioned.
Delicious. Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to just give them, you know, just some, you know, again, easy examples of what, you know, we were looking for, and, you know, push it further. Like, let's even push this further and get even more elevated from these.
I forget when we were there, did you said that you told them what your dishes were? Cause they showed it on the TV on the,
yeah,
they
yeah,
showed, so I presented the, they showed them you at the stadium and all that stuff. You know, they showed, they went, did they shoot at the stadium or did you just supply pictures?
I supplied all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they had an idea. So sometimes they make the judge, the visiting judge, give you a taste of their dishes, but they didn't do that.
Mm-mm. They've not allowed, not even just with my episode, but they haven't allowed contestants to actually try, like, eat a lot of that, like, the demo food and stuff.
Well, recently. Not for nothing, but the one chef that came there to do that cut his finger. So they were probably like, we're not doing that anymore.
Right. Yeah. None of that anymore.
Wayne has the magic power.
Magic power goes to Wayne. Very interesting magic power.
Yes. He gets to give a penalty to one of the home cooks and they're going to receive a timeout for 5 minutes. So to me, what's interesting about the magic powers is you really get to see who they view as the heaviest or the toughest competitor in the competition.
Yes. And you can be very strategic with this advantage because it's a timeout at any point during the cook. So you can be watching somebody and know they're about to do something or something has, you know, pretty strict time constraints and you can give them a 5 minute timeout. Now there were stipulations, like you could not give them a 5 minute timeout with 5 minutes to go.
Yes,
that
fair.
Was not allowed. So there were some rules ahead of that about when and you could and could not give the timeout. But
no, that makes sense.
You can't like just send somebody home because they can't plate their dish.
I know that this is a weird question, but you didn't know any of them just based off of seeing them. And I know we're not supposed to judge a book by its cover. Did you have any perception of like, oh, I think she's going to do really good. She looks like a badass, or I think he'll do really good. Did you have anything like that based on nothing but seeing who the person was?
That's a great question. Reagan really stuck out to me.
Same.
Yeah. It's like immediately when I saw her, I was like, she knows what's up. Like she knows how to cook. I'm trying to think when I go to the guys, I really was impressed, honestly, just like I maybe because he's just so tall and he stuck out by Colby. And I did find out that is, you know, he had some NFL like family experience.
Right.
So I was looking forward to being like, oh, this guy knows how to elevate.
He's been to a stadium. Food. Yeah.
Right. He's been to a stadium. And I did think just from her presence that Bryn would like understood the competition. Like she seemed just like she knew again, like very calm, not like overly dramatic or excited, that she would do really well.
This is the origins of where I became a Bryn fan, was this day.
Right, right.
Because I got to see her in person. She reminds me of a very good chef friend of mine. She kind of looks like her too. And so I remember being there that day and that was who I was observed and watched. I was like, from my perspective, standing there, I mean, obviously I thought Wayne was great because he was up in the rafters. You
I
know?
Did. Well, and I agree with that. I was, and I told him up there, I was like, I really wanted to see him cook. Because not just because he was the winning chef, but I was like, oh, that guy looks like he knows what's up. And I had been told by the other contestants and some of the production team that Wayne was doing really well. So,
but Bryn definitely stood out to me as and Kennedy as well as like, these are chefy people. These are my people. These are the people that like I think could win something like this.
Yes.
And we'll get into it. I was kind of proven right. Now you get the megaphone out.
Yeah, that was fun.
They overdubbed an echo. Did you notice that?
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it didn't echo in the fucking room because I don't remember it hearing an echo.
I don't remember hearing an echo, but.
Do you remember what you said in it?
What? In the megaphone?
Yeah.
I just had to say go.
Okay. Who tells you that you're going to have a megaphone?
They literally, it was like just handed to me. And I was like,
so you didn't have any pre-knowledge that you're going to scream out of a megaphone.
Someone just that was just like,
hands
here.
It to you and said, say go.
Yeah.
Out of this megaphone.
Out of this megaphone. And I was like, oh, okay. That's
I and do. You're a I don't team remember player.
Signing that in my contract, but okay.
Fuck it, I'll do it.
Yeah, like, whatever. I wanted to throw some footballs around with Gordon. So
Jennifer says that she was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And fits, she's very fitting. Familiar. Yes, she's very familiar with stadium food. I felt like she would nail it.
I thought so too. I didn't think about. I was like, oh, when like even Lizzie was like, I'm from Alaska. We don't really have a lot of stadiums. I was like, oh, I guess that's true. Like, there's probably not a ton of
right.
experience for you to draw from. Granted, you still understand, like, you know.
But really, I mean, there's not a like. Sometimes with Lizzie, it's like these statements are made on the show. I feel like she's might be one that gets edited in a weird like. There's no state like they don't even have concerts. Like, I mean, right. like she's. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand there might not be a team, but like, you right, don't
other
have
stadiums. There's still sports,
right? College,
right? You still understand that there's just like nachos and hot dogs.
Like, have you been to a game somewhere? You know,
right?
Wayne says his four competitors are Grant, Colby, Jennifer, and Kennedy.
I'd say that's very accurate.
Okay, what the fuck? What about Brent?
Oh my gosh. Seriously.
Are you not watching?
Why are you taking it so personal?
Well, because I understand those four names, but also say five and add one. Add another one.
It's half the competition.
Everybody
and
here.
I think they asked him, or maybe, I don't know if they said four, but yeah. Like that's
everybody here.
Yeah, not that answer. I think that was a very good, accurate depiction of who is a front runner.
I don't appreciate that. Just kidding.
I think Bryn's also great. She would probably have been in mine, but you know.
I mean, come on. Like, whatever. So, but like, so you start hearing, you're standing there. Now this thing is going, boom, go. You scream to the megaphone. You start seeing and hearing the things that people are making. What are you Madam Donut's making a donut.
I was stoked. And what they didn't show of a ton of was there was a huge, huge, that was very Donald Trump of me, conversation regarding the donuts. With like,
I remember that.
Gordon and Joe would not let this go of like, Gordon was like, these aren't donuts because she wasn't frying them. And it was just like kept going and going like, is she making donuts? Is she making a cake? Is this a muffin? Like, it was endless. And I was like, guys, can we just drop this? Like, it's a cake donut. It's fine.
We got like one line of it on the actual show.
Right. But yeah. I kid you not, for everyone listening, this went on all freaking day. I was like, wow, we really are dragging this one out. It was like, is this a joke that we keep doing this? Like,
So Bryn's making a lobster roll. I felt this was smart. I wrote smart as fuck.
Of course you did.
But what did you think when you heard lobster rolls being made? What did you think?
I was excited about the lobster roll being made. I was even more excited that she was going to use the claw and do something different with that. So as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, this girl knows how her way around a lobster. She's using multiple different cooking techniques to utilize it in different ways. That was definitely starting to look like an elevated dish of some right. sort.
Reagan's making seafood sliders.
Yeah, I was excited about that. That sounds great. I was very excited about that one.
Kennedy's making lemongrass sausage from scratch. Yes. That sounds dope.
I was so excited about when I heard she was doing that. I was like, this sounds exactly like something up my alley and elevated. And if she can pull that off, then I was all over it.
Colby's dad, as you said, played for the Cowboys. He's making a Texas patty melt. And Colby's worried that he's going to get the flag.
Yeah, he was worried about the flag. He thought it was coming for him. Him and Wayne must have some, like, tiff.
Right.
And I was excited about a patty melt. You know, we're from the Midwest. Steak and Shake is, you know, a thing out here, which is patty melts. That's, like, what they do. Do you guys have Steak and Shake?
I'm just thinking about that. I've definitely eaten that one. So I think they're on the East Coast. I don't know if we have them out here. I've had it though. Yeah.
But like patty melt, like 2 a.m. is like a thing.
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. So I was excited about that and like the Texas toast and the whole thing.
Are any of the judges at this point, when the cook's going on, giving you a little inside scoop? This one's that one's this, or
not really? No. Mm-mm. There's so much stuff to get through when we're filming, because the clock is the clock. So there's a lot of things that need to get filmed and get done. So like that we start, and for those first, 15 minutes, we are up there really discussing what's happening, who's making what, or not making what, but like what the challenge is and more stuff about me. And then we break off into pairs and go down and taste everybody's food, or talk to them. I mean,
Lizzie is making king crab.
Mm-hmm.
She wants redemption on the fish from the last episode. When you heard that she was making king crab, hush puppies. I mean, Gordon is offended by this concept.
Yeah, I immediately was like, oh gosh. Like, it's just one of those things that you don't take a beautiful and expensive piece of crab like that and then like pulverize it into a fried hush puppy without also using it elsewhere.
Right.
Again, take some of it and showcase some of like the big meat elsewhere. I think Gordon takes it. I don't want to say personally, but he finds it very disrespectful to something that is so expensive and like it's such a delicacy when it's used in that way.
I think though this is, and again, we're talking about the show, so I think this is kind of where Lizzie is starting to show her, what you just said, like, you would not make a hush puppy out of king crab. I feel like the other chefs knew that.
Right.
Right.
There's a lot of other ways to use it.
Yeah. To do something else with it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, really, you shouldn't touch it very much, honestly.
Sav is doing like multiple sandwiches.
I was worried about Sav when we went back there and I heard what she was doing. There was just so like three different, completely different types of sandwiches with different sauces, different flavors, different, like slaws and stuff. And I was like, Sav, that is a lot to do in an hour. And you always like see this on cooking shows. You do just do one, like, don't focus on three because one's going to be really good and the other one's going to be eh, but then it brings the whole dish down.
Right.
They all can't be the best. So I was very concerned when I saw hers.
You say it's a huge accomplishment to get to the top 10, but this is where you don't want to let your foot off the gas. I thought it was a great line.
Yeah. You need to keep the end goal in mind. And Wayne had even said that at one point, that his first goal was, getting an apron, second goal was top 10, and last goal was to win. And, I came out there when I was there, I had zero goals. I was just like, just go. And then, there was just kind of, you never take your foot off. You just keep going. And it is very easy at that point to let the mental anguish of like what's happening to you get the best of you, and you have to like be like, all right, this isn't happening to me, this is happening for me. Keep pushing. Like, you got to change your mindset.
Jennifer's deep into the pressure cooker. She's doing the pulled barbecue sandwich, and there's no room for error on the dish. She prays to the Lord, and which is lovely. What is your thought on her using the pressure cooker, the pulled pork sandwich? What was your thought when you heard all that was happening?
So I immediately, anyone that was using a pressure cooker, I was like, oh no, that's who Wayne's going to go after, obviously. So as soon as Jennifer specifically pulled out the pressure cooker, I was like, oh, it's going to Jennifer. And I was like, he would be smart to use it right before she wants to turn that sucker on, because there's only so much time. Now, I was hoping we weren't going to just get a pulled pork sandwich.
Oh, I see.
I was hoping it was going to be, again, elevated a little bit differently, in all honesty.
Well, I'll ask you what you thought of it when you tasted it.
Yeah.
When we get there. Wayne does flag Jennifer. She has to stop for 5 minutes. Ugh. She looked infuriated. But you know what the thing which is interesting about Jennifer here? 2 weeks ago, I guess it is now, she was in that challenge with Charles, and she was panicked and stressed and couldn't gain composure.
Yeah.
Even in spite of this challenge that Wayne threw at her, she might have been annoyed in the moment, and it might have been frustrating, but she seemed okay. Like
she kept her cool.
She was composed about mm-hmm. this. It was not like a tailspin like the Charles situation.
Yeah, and in real time she handled it. She wasn't happy about it by any means, but she was calm about it and really kind of thought about what her options were going to be.
Why is everyone singling out Jennifer? Grant put a target on her. Wayne threw the thing. Like, is it a thing that the guys have some sort of, do Wayne and Grant have some sort of an alliance, you know, like, or
I don't know. Well, they're both in the Midwest, so yeah. Maybe.
Like, they obviously all feel that Jennifer could win this.
Yeah, I think Jennifer and Kennedy are probably like the two, you know, like standouts.
Yeah.
Who else are we missing?
They're all very supportive of each other. Reagan's like, you got this, Jen. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that I would be like
that. The whole cast is very friendly.
Yeah. Like, I would probably be like, you don't got this, Jen. You know, right. Like, I want.
You do want to see, like, they're good about handing out the challenges, but then they, like, just go back and they're like, oh, but I love you. Like, they're all very friendly.
To win. I guess it's just different every season, right? Like, yeah, you were there to win. You weren't going to wish.
The dynamics are very different.
You wouldn't have shouted, Jen, good luck, or you got it.
Probably.
Oh, you might have said that?
Yeah. To certain people. Like, I was definitely, like, friendly with, you know, with some contestants. So there was, you know.
It's a game, is my point.
It is.
So Wayne is giving Kennedy advice, which is he's communicating from the rafters, which is.
Yeah, he's like giving instruction.
Fun to watch.
Yeah. It is. I'm glad that they allowed that. Lots of times they don't allow a lot of commentary from up there, like very just vanilla commentary, nothing that's actually helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I was up there once and I remember saying something and then I getting scolded. Like, Kelsey, you can't say that. Like, okay, all right. Just helping.
Jennifer and you have a interaction.
Yeah, Mama Bond.
Yeah.
Mama Bond runs deep.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's awesome, just for clarity, because a couple, you know, I don't want to ever be in the opposite of that.
No, I just have a lot of, you know, like, obviously mutual respect. And I think I understand kind of where her mind would be at that point in the competition, especially with six kids, like, being away.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really, really hard. So for her to be out there doing it and just, again, recognizing that she's, you know, like, she can handle a 5-minute timeout. Like, that's no big deal.
She's putting enough kids in the timeout.
I was ready to, like,
go
there.
So she should be able to sit in a timeout herself.
If you believe in that these days, I don't know. She might be a gentle parent believer.
Her kids are probably like, good, you got a timeout.
Timeouts are like no-nos nowadays.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, go on a timeout.
We won't get on that tangent.
Think about that, Kelsey.
This is not a parenting podcast. Yes, but
I know. I was just being funny and making a joke about timeouts. But thank you for just going down that road. But you were looking out for me there.
Yes.
I was so excited to hear. I'm so excited to hear what is the donut taste like.
Yeah, it was. Are we talking about that?
No, I'm just curious. I wrote that note. I really want to know what that donut tastes like.
I was just excited that I got to be on that episode where MD.
This is the first one.
Yeah. Made a donut, and we've been, not we, I just got there, but they had been waiting for it all season. And then we find out she's making it, and I was like, that's so exciting. Like, I get to be a part of history.
Grant is doing an elevated pulled pork nacho.
Yeah, so this was really interesting to me.
Arona is nervous.
Yeah, the Totellas. I was really excited. I thought it was a great idea. And obviously, I leaned on Arone for his expertise on this actual dish. I didn't know much about it, but I was excited about the idea and thought it was really cool. Like, he was going to pull off pulled pork and do this, like, pretty awesome. But Aron had a lot of worries with it, and so did Joe, of like, this could be. Again,
this is sort of Grant overthinking.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's sort of
underthinking. I think he might have underthought maybe this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just I don't know that this is going to be. You have Aron Sanchez there. You know, right. He's always going to be so harsh
right.
about this kind of stuff.
This screamed to me like, oh, I read this in a book somewhere, and this I'm going to try to do this. And that, not that understanding, totally. You know, the technique that goes into it, you know, like, you don't know how thick that's supposed to be. You don't know, you know, it just seemed not thought through. Mm. Like, I think it'd be really cool to like use a wonton wrapper or something, you know, like that, something that you're more familiar with, and like stuff it with the pulled pork and then do a cool like aioli. And I mean, there's so many other things.
Well, I mean, you have a stand, so I was going to ask you, what would you do? But I mean, you would do one of the things, you would do your Cuban sandwich.
Well, right. I already have things, but yeah. There's so many other, I mean, other great options to do. And I just, yeah, it wouldn't have, I don't know. I was really excited about the, you know, I was like, he pulls this off. Like, this is awesome. And I really like the idea. It's handheld, it's elevated, it's something different.
There's a fun little moment where Jennifer finally opens up the pressure cooker. And she shouts, "No one's stopping me today."
Right.
And Wayne like shrugs, like,
yeah,
all right, whatever.
I tried. Right. Yeah. He's like, she tries to make this big statement. He's like, well, all right, fine.
Lizzie's dish looks like a mess. Colby's dish looks like a mess. I mean, and you're seeing, I mean, we're seeing, I saw this firsthand, but like, you saw this first fucking hand up close and personal. I saw the nightmare in it. You know what's interesting as a fan of the show and not being a chef or anything that's participating, it is so, when you're there live, it is so uncomfortable and awkward to see that kind of chaos and panic of someone trying to get it right. Like, the TV actually doesn't do it justice, because you're in the moment and you're feeling it for them. You're watching like the patty.
And there's like no dramatic music or anything. Like, it's kind of like silent
feels,
in there.
It just feels so tense, you know, and Colby, what, I didn't know anything about him at that time. I didn't read your books or anything like that, but he just looks like such a nice person. You know what I mean? Like, he just looks genuine, and Lizzie as well. They look like genuinely good people. And when you see people that look like that struggling internally and not being able to do it in person, you know what I mean? I know it's a part of a show, but it's really happening.
Yeah, it was. We walked it's over there like stressful. mid cook, and I was like, oh dear God, like, this is not going. And I like expressed it to him, and I'm like, we got some work. They didn't show any of it, but I was like, we got to figure this one out, because this is not shaping up. And it was one of those where I don't think he could get his brain to actually function. He felt, I think, a lot of expectation that, yes, oh, my dad's was in the NFL and I should know how to do this. And he just like couldn't get his brain to like do simple cooking processes. Like, he just couldn't think through it. I'm like, you are using a square Texas toast, but you're making tiny round burger patties that aren't going to fit the shape. Like, nothing made sense. Like, just
it
like,
did not. It did not.
The
make
geometry
sense.
Of it was not adding up. And I was like, oh boy.
And Lizzie's hush puppy is the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, I want to say this about my Bryn origins, is that I watched her and I watched how cool and calm she was.
Well, and you were close, like where you were sitting, you were on like the filming side.
Yeah.
And she was over there. So she was probably your closest station.
Totally. And I like, mm-hmm. I watched her and I saw her confidence. I saw her calmness juxtaposed to Colby's patty melt, like, smoking and being off, you know what I mean? And I was like, this girl reminds me, like I said earlier, reminds me of the chefs I know. I don't even know if she's a chef. I don't know anything about her story at that time, you know. And now I come to watch the show and all of it aligns, where I'm like, oh yeah, I of course I'm a fan of this person. This is the kind of person that I would like want to go to her thing, or you know what I mean, or whatever she has going on. All right. But now I want to ask you, like, what did some of this shit taste like? First of all, right off the bat, what does Bryn's lobster roll taste like? I have never tried her food. I'm a fan, but I'm a fan from afar. So is her food good?
Yeah, the lobster roll was great. It was perfect texture, well seasoned, had a good like amount of acidity to it. I said on there the claw was excellent. Like to be able to tempura fry something and still maintain like the tenderness of the lobster, it was just very well thought out and executed.
Okay, so you just said that all to me, which is so cute and lovely. Thank you. Do you and you went up there with the other judges to taste each one of the dishes?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting, is this maybe where you're getting a little insight into this sucks or this is good? Are they, do you guys have that conversation in that moment or does that happen later?
It happens before that. So little, I mean, I don't think this is a secret that the, as soon as the cook is over, like we, you know, time stops, the contestants leave and us as judges go around and we taste everything at the station. So we basically do that, what we did, the walk around and tasting things without the contestants there.
I remember that. Yeah. But so in that moment, is Gordon saying something to you like, yes. Hush, but okay. So
yeah. So we go around and we're starting to like pick it out. It's very obvious. Like there's no like, it's very
everybody
quick
in
process.
That moment. We just talked about Bryn. We're going to talk about all of them. So that's just what we're going to do. Was Bryn like, were they saying the same thing that you were saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There again, it's very like, I would say universal. There's okay. Not a lot of,
but do you like, feel the pressure as a judge to say, yes, that's good if you didn't like it? Or would you just say, I don't agree with you guys?
No, there were some things where I was like, I don't think that was that bad or, you know, mm-hmm. like,
okay,
guys, that was fucking terrible. Like,
all right. Like, so MD really and the donut.
Yeah. So in real time, like tasting that, so good. I actually still think about that donut.
That's amazing. I love food memories.
I
want to do
say
a documentary
really like,
about food memories, actually.
I still think about that one. It didn't really taste like a donut. So I will almost go back to the donut reference where like it really wasn't a donut. It was
and
like
are those
a really
guys doing that with you like present or
oh
they...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were still on the donut thing. It was definitely more like a cupcake texture. But the ice, like the frosting was so good. And the actual texture of the donut was so light. It was just, it was really well done. I loved it. Like, oh, they were,
given the perspective,
it lived up to the hype.
This is an off the beaten path, just fun question. Can you imagine if you were there the week that you had to try Charles's carcass?
Oh, right.
All right. But so you go to Colby's Texas patty melt. I remember looking at it and it looked like a disaster from afar. So you get to see it up close. What did it look like to you?
Yeah. And so we weren't able. And so one thing I remember, or maybe we did. I don't think we actually got to taste one of the patties before we called him up.
Because
I don't think there were any left at a station. Because you can't like touch the actual composed dish.
Oh, you're tasting like, pieces of of what was made.
So I don't think we had actually tasted that, but like obviously like the composition of it, like there was nothing on it. Like it looked so dry. Just like there, I was like, I literally went out there. I was like, I don't understand what he did.
Mm-hmm.
60 minutes. Like what?
Yeah.
What was he doing? Like, I wasn't sure.
Jennifer's pork sandwich.
Yeah. So her pork sandwich, we got to taste her sauce like right away.
What are her flavors like?
The blackberry sauce was so good. It mm-hmm. was a really, really good barbecue sauce. The pork got cooked. It like definitely wasn't like as tender. Like, and like, I shouldn't say
it,
as
how
tender.
How can it be? It's made in a pressure cooker. How can it be? It's going to be the most tender that it can be given the circumstances.
And it hadn't like had time, you know, she took it out and literally like just threw it with some sauce. Sure. So it didn't have that time to like meld together.
Yeah.
It was basically just like shredded beef or shredded pork with this like sauce on it. So it wasn't like, it wasn't the right texture. That's for sure. But she had gotten it done.
Yeah. And comparatively to like the patty melt, it had to be pretty solid. I still think Kennedy seems really good. Really good. Of course.
Oh yeah, we didn't really talk about her flavors. And I asked that. I asked her like, what flavors were you wanting to come through? And she just goes, Vietnamese. I'm like, well, no shit. Like you were supposed to say like the actual like.
Right. Flavors. Right.
Like lemongrass, or it wasn't like, it didn't pop as much of a punch as I was hoping it would.
Interesting.
Which I thought was interesting because I was looking forward. I look for seasoning and like really highly flavored food, and it didn't pack as much of a punch as I was hoping.
What about Grant's?
The Tutellas. Yeah. So everything about what he made tasted great. So like the flavors were really good. You could tell like he understands flavor. He had just failed on the execution of, you know, like we were able to walk over to his stand and like break some open and see like it's raw in the middle. Like there's no way this is cooked.
Does Aron get with something like that? Is he on a?
It's not offended. Rant? It's not offended. It's just kind of like a little bit of disappointment and a little bit of like, you really should be smarter. Like, you know, he's not like offended that it's disrespectful to his culture.
No, I don't mean it like that. I just mean like he's going to, you know, you're doing this to showcase to one of the best Mexican cooks.
Right. Like be smarter.
Yeah.
Like make sure you know what you're doing.
Right.
If you're going to do that.
If you're going to go down that road. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lizzie's hush puppies.
Oh, like as soon as you pick them up, you're like, this is, you know, when you like pick up something and you're like that, you're like, this is way heavier than it should be.
Right.
It's like, I pick up this tiny hush puppy and it's like picking up a softball.
You right.
Know, just like, whoa, why is this so, it just felt dense.
So you knew this was going to be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It just.
Did it taste good at all? Was there any flavor to it or was it?
No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. So she also, there was an issue with the type of cornmeal she used. Mm. So it was the wrong like ground, like grain of cornmeal. So that played a role into it. And then the hush puppies were like so small, like they were so small that there was no way you could have any sort of like big lump of crab in it.
Right.
It was basically like pulverized crab in it. So
she just didn't execute it.
And like the side she put on, like the sweet potatoes, they were just like,
why?
Raw. Yeah. They just like didn't, one, they didn't make sense. And two, they weren't executed well. Yeah. So it was not good.
Sav's multiple sandwiches.
Yeah. She rocked that out.
It was good.
Yeah. It was really good. I actually wanted her to be called up because she pulled it off. And it was down to the wire.
I don't know if she wins or not, but there's something special about her. Like she's got something.
I like her a lot. I like her personality. I like her spunk. Like,
yes.
I like her tenacity to do that. Yes. Like when I saw her, I didn't know anything about her. And I was like, that girl's got balls. Like she's doing a lot of stuff. And
it paid off.
It paid off. It was really good.
Yeah.
And every component, like
I remember you
on there and executed.
You told me that there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like that. Reagan.
Yeah, Reagan. Her seafood sliders. I'm trying to actually remember. I like don't. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie about it. I don't remember a ton about what those.
Well, that's not great.
Tasted like. I know. I'm like, I can't honestly remember.
Well, you also ate so much shit, so it's like.
And like we go around so fast, and then like pick top three, bottom three, and like then you really taste. You know, you really don't taste it until they come up.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different. Like you're just tasting little components and stuff like that. So
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else I didn't ask you about. I feel like I asked you now about all of the different dishes.
I think so.
Yeah. So let's talk about getting to the place where we're going to get a top three and a bottom three.
Yes.
So what is that process like with the judges? And did you I mean, listen, we're doing this podcast every week and you're watching from television, you'll say, oh, that looked really good. I would say that person should be in the top three. Well, guess what? Now you're on the show and you can say this person belongs in the top three. What was your thoughts on who should be in the top three? And what is the conversation piece like with the other judges?
So honestly, it is so fast. Like, they've done this so much.
Yes.
And like, they're immediately just like, all right, top three, blah, 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 like when they've just like snaked through super fast and they just like rattle it off. And I'm like, what? Hold on. Like, there's like, it was so fast. Yeah. That was like one of the most surprising things to me. I'm like, oh, you just like made that decision very quickly. But it's also fairly obvious. Like, once you go around, mm-hmm. like, it's very obvious. So like, Bryn, for sure. Like, I knew mm-hmm. that, like, that one had to go up.
But does Gordon say any, or does anybody say anything to you? Like, she's been doing great at this point. Do you have any knowledge of the history of the weeks?
Yes. Or... Yeah. At that point. Yeah. At that point, we've been like getting, I've been getting some info.
Yeah.
Onto like, they're saying, oh, that was like really not like him.
Okay. Or... So they said probably talking about.
Yeah. Colby. Yeah. Yeah. So yes. So like, they're like, I don't know what's happening or. You know, why is someone doing that? Or, you know, mm-hmm. like they definitely have started to allude to me, like what has been going on all season.
It was so great to see MD in the top three because she's been under the radar. There's been weeks that we've watched this where I was like, where she couldn't execute something that she should have been able to, but she like bounced back and gets this moment where she's in the top three. The donuts
with her donuts.
They look fucking like, awesome. Like they like, just on television, they look good. The display looks good. Like if you're getting a donut, you have to get her donuts. Like she clearly knows what's up when it comes to this.
They looked
thing.
Beautiful. And then she was so emotional about it. I mean, happy emotional, but also just like stressed out emotional. Again, they've been through a lot. They are really tired. So it's starting to show. And they didn't show, like, I actually had a moment with her. I gave her a hug and
talked her
through it and, you know, tried to just like pick her up just to be like, you deserve to be up here. Like, these are fantastic. Yes. And this is what you do. Like, there's nothing worse than like doing what you do. And then for some reason you get sent home. Like, you're up here because you executed and like showed us like, yeah, this is my namesake. Like,
so good and so important.
So some of those moments we don't get to see again because of the edit, like they're not going to be able to do some of that, but I was thankful to get to have those moments with the contestants where I could take the time to actually talk to them and have some intimate moments to really boost their confidence.
For MD, she was doubting herself a whole bunch in this. And I would just say to MD or anybody that's doubted themselves, look at this moment and just say, like, this is the time I doubted myself and I was wrong to do that. Like, I know.
Well, I cut into them and ate it. And I was like, I said it on camera. I was like, girl, these are so good. Like,
yeah.
And we finished them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
I saw.
We kept eating those. Like, and Joe was like all about them. He just like kept going back for more because they were really good.
You said Bryn's stuff was really good.
Yep.
And then Jennifer is also in the top three. So was that you just said some things about her sandwich. Was that someone that you thought should be in the top three or?
I was like I said, I was actually wanting Sav to be in the top three, but I think they thought the gameplay definitely like.
Oh, I see.
Not necessarily just the flavor, but the fact that she like persevered and got through it and earned
also
her a spot to get recognition. Not necessarily that she was ever in like for the win.
In terms of the history, like the history of the show too, a couple of weeks ago, she had this challenge where she was almost eliminated because of something someone else did. And so it's like, she needs this win. She's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, it was
Sav just
it wasn't like a like unfair bring up. But it was like, let's give her a personal boost. Like, she deserves it also. So
you say that that you were getting the heat at the back of your palate and she nailed it.
Yeah, the sauce was good. Like, the flavors were all there. And it was just like the only fault in it was because of the lack of time that she had. Otherwise, like, it would have been, again, fantastic. I would have loved, and I told her this when she came up, I would have loved to see it in a different, like not just a pulled pork sandwich.
Totally.
Like, let's make tacos or let's make some nachos or let's do something different with it.
Sure.
But all in all, it was, the flavors were great. So
yeah, and sometimes that's like, you've said this on the show, sometimes the more simple it is, and if you can just execute the flavors, that could yeah. get you in, as opposed to going off the
and especially past. Like when you're already like in the weeds, like she, when she gets time out, like you're not to like do something really cool and innovative at that point, you're just trying to survive. So exactly. Like, let's just make sure your flavors are on point so we're not sending you home, you know.
I was so happy Bryn won. You all agreed that she had the best dish.
A great, great lobster roll. Great sandwich.
When she's standing there, Bryn is like, I hate this part. You know, with the judge. Yeah. I love this part. I wrote.
I know. It's your favorite part.
Yeah. Like, I love.
And we'll talk about this. And I do hate it because we stand there for quite a while and we do talk about everything. Like, we literally are talking about
them.
You
are a part of the fucking whispers.
Yeah. 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 I'm part of
what
the
is it like
whispers.
To be on the inside of the whispers?
The whisper part's super fun because that's when you get to like shoot the shit with the judges and actually just like have funny conversations and like talk about, I don't know what they're doing that night. But it's also weird because as a contestant, I had moments, and we talk about this when we're talking about the bottom, where like I felt bad because we talk about the bottom, we make a decision, but then like the camera crew is still getting their shots and it's not time to come back out. And we start just like shooting the shit. And then we're just like giggling and laughing. And like, it feels very inappropriate.
Feels inappropriate. Yes. And I'm annoyed just thinking about you doing that. Yes.
I didn't like it because I was like, I was that person out there waiting while the judges were back here giggling and laughing.
Yes. But it's nothing to do with the contestant. Maybe.
No, it has nothing to do with that. We're just like, we have not been called back out on the stage. So like, we're not going to sit there just soberly.
Right. Yes.
So anyway, that's a little behind the scenes.
Well, being in the bottom three, the whispers are far worse. So we're going to talk about the bottom three, Colby. This is the first time I think he's in the bottom. He's cursing, which we don't see him do.
He was upset.
He was really upset. Tell me about this.
Yeah.
The other thing for me on the sidelines watching is this part is really tough to watch. You know what I mean? Because, you know, like I said, Colby seems like such a nice person. Lizzie seems like such a good person. Grant too, you know, it's like they all do. And so now they're bringing it up and they're being called out. And like, it's like listening to the podcast, but in person and by the judges.
And hard. It's really hard too as the guest judge, because like, it's like, they've listened to Gordon, like Gordon and them are supposed to be there to like critique their food. Like, I am supposed to be there as like this hype person and like inspirational.
Totally.
And then I have to like, I haven't met them and I'm just like bashing their food, which is really, I felt so bad. And I'm like, I have to.
Yeah. It's a part of the gig.
It's
you know?
A part of the thing. And I'm not going to tell you this is great, but I also was like, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry.
that was your whisper.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
All right. So
it was, so it did.
But you said the burger tasted okay.
The flavor was, he like flavored that thing. So it was, the flavor came through. That was definitely one of his saving graces. Otherwise, it was a disaster of a dish. And he knows that. Like, we all said it. And then you saw me say it. I was like, Colby, you already know. Like, I don't need to tell you anymore about this. And he was like, yeah, I know.
He knew.
Yeah.
He was Grant like, I know. Is the next one. He's upset. Aron says it has too much masa.
Masa. It was too thick. It was raw in the middle. Raw dough. Yeah. The flavors of everything else were good. He had gotten that on point. So for the two of them, like, you know, when we get to Lizzie, and you saw him like cut into it, like,
wait, which
there was
one,
no
Grant
air.
Or Lizzie?
No, in Lizzie's.
Yeah, no.
Puppies.
So we get to Lizzie's the third, and she's confusing, or she's, it says, she said, they say it's a confusing concept. She's really disappointed. This is the second week she's in the bottom here. You didn't know that, but
yeah, I didn't know that.
And you liked her because there was that really nice exchange at the beginning of the episode where she says that she rooted for you and all this stuff. So that must have been, she's got the headband on.
This is where it sucked. Like, I hated this whole part of it. I felt so bad. Like, but there's like, you go there with all this like excitement and then I have to send somebody home. Like,
especially that particular person who said such nice things at the top of the episode.
I know. I was like, I felt like a terrible person. You honestly do. You feel like a terrible person. It takes this whole day that's like so exciting. And then you're like, oh, I just had to ruin somebody's dreams. Womp womp. Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
There was a lot of like issues with the dish. It was clearly the time.
So you, the three of you, the four of you go in and whisper about the bottom. I'm always been curious, is the bottom already determined before you have the chat about it? Do you guys know, like,
hey, who's gonna go home?
We're thinking it should, based on what we just tasted, it should be this. Or is it in that moment when you guys are talking that you confirm your thoughts?
I think we like have a really strong idea at that point. You know, you're like 90% there, and then we like confirm it
When you're doing the actual whispers. Yeah,
so there is like some point to the whispers. We're actually like talking about it,
reiterating the points.
Yes, reiterating the points, and there's, I mean, there is some kind of like discussion, but you're already pretty sure. Like, at least in our case, it was pretty obvious.
You're saying, as a judge, it was you were pretty sure who was going. Not that the show is predetermining the outcome.
No, right. As a judge,
I just want to be clear about that. Yes, correct. Right. Yes.
Yeah, and there is no like input. I would like to
from the show
say that there is no input from the show.
Right. That was something that was it. Like, I noticed that nobody was really walking around saying, you know, it's Lizzie's week. You know what I mean? Like, there's
no
nothing
input
like that at all. Right.
And Gordon's very like, and well, he's clear about it, but I think, I mean, he's an EP. So, you know, like, he is very food focused when it comes to the show.
Totally.
So like, there has been times when
they all
like,
are,
he has a culinary, there is a culinary director, and like, he'll make a decision on something. And she's like, you really shouldn't send that person home. But like, he does, like, and he's like, no, I mean, that's who needs to go home.
But they all, three of the judges are food first. You know what I mean? Like they just are really knowledgeable, and they are basing it on, look, you used our king crab. You used it, put it in a hush puppy. We cut open into it. It wasn't great. Of the three things that happened this week, I do think that maybe Colby's track record helps him to be like, okay, he botched.
He deserves it, right?
Yeah, Grant. Though Grant is
also, he's had two bad weeks
in a row, like Lizzie. So, like, I'm wondering about that now.
Yeah.
And you guys all say Lizzie's out, and then you have to deliver that news.
Yeah, it was really hard.
And then at the very end of the episode, in person, they cut this out of the show, but they asked you to give some advice or some thoughts. You made a beautiful speech to all of them. I actually saw some of them tearing up about it. So I think it was impactful what you said. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah. I mean, I was there to really kind of like, again, show them that I am living proof that, you know, it's not about who wins this show. It's really about, you know, like, your perseverance afterwards and making shit happen for yourself and believing in yourself and pushing through and just giving them all like the confidence that regardless of what happens from here on out, you guys have done a great job and that, you know, you are, you know, in charge of your own destiny, like, do with it whatever you want. So, I think it was, I wish they had shown at least some of it.
Same. Yeah. But you know, the edit is
that's not important. The edit's the edit. And it was important in that moment for them to hear it, you know,
totally.
Like, doesn't matter now. It's just important for them to have heard that in that moment. And hopefully, I don't even know what happens later on, but hopefully it helped some of them, you know, moving forward.
I didn't get to meet Gordon at all, but I did say hi to Joe. He came over, he had a friend sitting by us, and also Aron at the end came over and said hello and was just so sweet and kind to everybody.
So nice.
Yeah, he just, you know, I've known him through other people, and they always say how cool he is and just like a good dude. And I could just, that just comes off of his aura.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, he's
just
very
really
friendly,
looking to help young cooks and chefs. And I think that's why he's there on this show, is to help these master chefs become something.
It was so interesting that like the dynamics of like being with the judges and stuff and like seeing them in their other, you know, like forms, like not on stage. And
what is some of that like?
It's just Joe's just like very, as he appears, he's just very like in his own world. Like,
yeah,
you know, kind of like, I don't give two shits about being here, but he does, you know, like he does, but he just doesn't come across that way. And for him, he was like the hardest one to like break through. The other two were so welcoming. Like Gordon and Aron were like welcome to the club. Like,
but
what's
Joe
going
made
on?
reservations
We're
for
so
us at
proud about you.
Keys Baca.
He did. No, and that's what I mean. So by the end of the day, I had played into the club. I told you at the beginning of the episode, I was like, I'm one of them.
Yes.
And I got myself in there. And by the end of the day, he was very like free flowing with talking to me and like shooting the shit back and forth. And he just, you know,
takes a minute to warm up.
Yeah. It takes a minute to warm up, which is totally fine. And I'm just like, I am all for a challenge.
So
bring it on.
Thinking back on this experience, I feel like you're still through the moon, over the moon. I don't know what that is. You're
I want to do, you know, all day, every day. That's like what I want to be doing.
Yeah.
You
you're
know,
really
I came
good
in,
at it.
And you knew like that. We went to dinner after with Eric, and I was like, this is what I need to be doing.
Right. Like, Eric's your manager, just to be clear.
Yeah. It made sense. I was like, this is what I need to be doing forever and ever. Like, any day I have a call time is a good day. Like,
yeah.
That's what I feel like I'm doing. Like, I'm seeing this conference right now, and like, I've a call time. I'm like, it's a good day. I have a call time.
You're really good at it. And I think that you're really good interpreting food and flavor. You have a really good personality to understand what the competitors are going through because you went through it yourself. So I felt like you were very relatable and connected, and none of your judgments might be harsh even now on this podcast, but they all come from a good place of like wanting to improve and see people do better.
Yeah. As a judge and a commentator and a fellow chef, like we need these critiques to get better and move forward. Like I get them all the time.
Yeah.
I welcome them. Is it hard to hear sometimes? Of course.
Right. You heard
it. No one wants to hear. Yeah. No one wants to hear shit about their food, but you know, you need constructive criticism to get better. It's not all sunshine and rainbows all the time.
Ultimately, what did you think of this experience? Let's wrap this up.
Highlight of my life, besides, you know, my marriage and having my kids.
I thought you were going to say winning MasterChef.
Well, that too. That was pretty cool.
That's really fucking cool. So,
yeah, that was pretty fucking cool. But this was like a different level. This was very much like a professional win where I just like felt so, well, professional and personal, because it felt so like I finally did something that felt so right for what I'm here to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're directing, like, you know, that's like,
yeah,
this is where I'm meant to be. This is a space I'm supposed to be in. Like, this was the first day, like, honestly, of my life where I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. That felt easy. That felt fun. It felt fulfilling.
There's something like a high in that when you
absolutely
find that.
Yeah, I'm still on it. Like,
yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. And when you're not doing it and you have to do something else, it feels really fucked up.
Yeah. And you're like, this doesn't feel, I feel forced. I feel, you know, and it's hard. This is a hard industry to get into. So it's a very hard thing to like fulfill my life doing.
Yeah, you will. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see the next weeks coming up because I'm just so curious how it all plays out. I do feel that any one of these people that are currently there could win.
Absolutely. It is like anyone's game right now. And this is interesting now for me. Oh, and for us, but I don't know if you remembered as much, but I knew who was in the top 10.
Yes.
Because I was there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and you remember a lot of people.
I just forgot it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like from this point on, I have zero idea. Like,
which is
the
like
order
the ordering,
in which people go home.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting for me. Now I have like no notion of who's going home. The last couple of weeks, I was like, all right, well, we only have these two people left. Like they have to go home.
Yeah.
So this will be fun to now move forward. I'm excited. We're getting like to the nitty gritty. And next
really
week, they finally get to go outside. I love the grill challenges.
I am still rooting for Bryn. I just wanted to put that out there. Of course, we would not expect anything else. But I also kind of really like Colby.
Yeah.
A lot.
I like Colby a lot.
I really like would love to see, because his story is so cool. And
I also liked how he handled the criticism when I was there. He was very much like, I know.
And the fact that I never tasted his burger, but you're saying that the burger tasted good in spite
it did
of, yeah
yeah so. It did it was like tasty. So
still want Kennedy too. I think she's really awesome.
She's really good. All right, guys, this was super fun. I'm really sad it's over because Because, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever be back. Please invite me back, Master
You'll
Chef.
Be back. You'll be
if
back.
you're ever going to listen to this, please invite me back. And
invite
yeah.
me back too, even
Right?
without Kelsey.
Right.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
I just
Yeah,
want to watch
just
one
because.
season. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, guys, thank you for tuning into The Real Eats. This was excellent. And we will see you all coming up for our interviews with the eliminated contestant. We have an interview with Lizzie coming up next.